Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning seven sins which were involved in our Lord and Savior's crucifixion. We covered the sin of ignorance as we went to Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The sin of ignorance is going on today, is it not? We know that it is. Next, we covered the sin of hating that which is good. Luke 23:18-19. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." They wanted a murderer released, and they wanted God in the flesh to be crucified, thus hating that which is good. That was the greatest injustice to ever have taken place in the history of mankind. Of course it was. And this sin is still going on today, sad to say. Thirdly, we covered the sin of religious prejudice. Luke 23:23. "And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed." In other words, the religious leaders wanted to put to death the only begotten Son of God, as they were prejudiced towards the truth. And this, of course, is the thief of the soul, and it's sad to say, again, going on still today. So we want to pick back up where we left off last Lord's Day with our study of the sins which were involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll pick back up there in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, PFE. Let's remember those initials to remind ourselves what we need to be doing every day of our lives. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying the precious Word of God in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also with a proper attitude, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else we want to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. And if you have a Bible question, send that to us. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let me mention that this is beginning our ninth year with the broadcast here on WCBK. 8 years now have we been on the air, and we look forward, Lord willing, to continue to preach the truth, the Word of God, and encourage all our listeners to search the Scriptures daily to be sure what I'm saying is from the Word of God. As again, I want to repeat, Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And let's have a desire to stay with the Word of God, no matter how many others do not. Yes, we're going to be in a minority, but it's with God that we want to be with, is it not? Not the majority. And so we appreciate very much this opportunity to preach on the radio, and we do not ever want to take your listening for granted. It's greatly appreciated. Well, let's get into our continued study, as we're going to pick back up with a sin that was involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. This would be number 4 in our study. And this would be from Matthew chapter 27. We're going to notice verses 17 and 18. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now we know what the results of this choice was. They chose Barabbas, the murderer. And we have already studied that last Lord's Day. But here's another sin, and that would be the sin of envy. Or you could use the word jealousy. Pilate knew the motive of the Jews was one of envy. The scriptures reveal that to us. And this sin, of course, is still being committed today, sad to say. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Notice that contrast. The sound heart, that's going to give life unto the flesh. It's going to certainly help us through our daily lives to have that sound heart. But envy is going to do what? Rotten the bones. In other words, it's going to harm us immensely. Well, let's go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, and notice the question, why did Cain kill Abel? Well, let's pick up with verse 3 of Genesis 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. How sad, as you go to the first situation of murder, and this is a brother taking his brother's life because his offering was not accepted, but his brother's offering was, and thus he was envious and full of hate. And you see the selfishness that was involved as well. Well, again, where there is envying and strife, for where envying and strife is, notice James 3:16. There is confusion in every evil work. Where you have envying and strife, there's going to be confusion. And that's producing every evil work. So what about us today? Are we guilty of the sin of envy? We don't want to be. Of course we don't, if we're wanting to follow Christ. So let's ask ourselves, do we prefer one another, or are we jealous of one another? Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So we want to be preferring one another, not being jealous of one another. Of course not. Let's always strive to prefer one another. As agape love Here is the cure for envy. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity, that's agape love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Notice that. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's the cure for envy, if we stay with the Scriptures. Paul had to deal with the sin of envy in his inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So the brethren there at Corinth, some of them, were involved in this sin of envy. And that needed to stop. The strife and the division needed to stop as Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, dealt with these problems. So let's be sure that we're not envious of one another, but preferring one another. Well, let's go on now to sin number 5 involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this would be Matthew 26:14-16. Then one of the twelve, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Well, we knew that from Zechariah's prophecy, didn't we? 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to portray him, to portray his Lord and Master, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Yes, he was betrayed by a familiar friend, one of the disciples who was the treasurer of the group. Yes, he held the bag with the money. He was good when Jesus selected him, but he became a thief. If only he would have said, Lord, I'm being tempted to take money from this bag. Please, let someone else carry it. Well, he didn't do that, did he? No, he became a thief, and even to the point of betraying Christ. This is the sin of loving money. That's certainly involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, is it not? We know that it is. Judas betrayed our Lord and Savior for 30 pieces of silver. What's that going to mean in eternity? Notice 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, that's profound, isn't it? It's not the money itself. It's not wrong to have money. We have to have money to live. It's the love of money. That's the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's still going on today, isn't it? This was the sin which caused the soldiers to lie about someone stealing the body of Jesus. Go now to Matthew 28:12-15. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. This was the chief priests, the religious leaders, in verse 11, gave them money to lie. And we'll deal with that sin in a moment. But what about us today? Are we guilty of the sin of loving money? Can you imagine the soldiers there at the tomb, all of them sleeping at the same time? Well, the penalty was death if you're caught sleeping on guard in those days. And it's still a serious matter today. And so this was ridiculous. But they did it for money, to lie like that. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do it good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. We're not to trust in uncertain riches. Let's be rich in good works in the Lord's service. Well, many people today are selling their souls for the love of money. Preachers for hire and brethren who do not give as they have been prospered. We could go on. But let's move on to our next sin that was involved in crucifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that would be the sin of lying, as we just mentioned with these soldiers. And here's another example, Matthew 26, 59 through 60. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Of course not. He was sinless. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses. So the religious leaders were willing to hire false witnesses to testify, that is, to lie against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God in the flesh. That's unimaginable, is it not, when you have religious leaders hiring false witnesses in order to have Jesus put to death? And these same chief priests and council members paid the soldiers that we just noticed in Matthew 28, 11 through 15, to lie about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus. Remember what Satan said to Eve in Genesis 3, 4, and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You won't need God if you're your own God, is what he was saying. Humanism began here. This is the pride of life. But it was a lie. Ye shall not surely die. That's the point. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Do we want to listen to a liar submitting to the temptations of Satan, our adversary? Or do we want to listen to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his teaching through the New Testament? Well, that shouldn't be difficult to answer. So let's ask ourselves, are we guilty of the sin of lying and accepting lies and following lies? Well, some people lie when they leave out parts of the truth. Here's an example where you have two boys selling lemonade across the street from one another. And so Jimmy was selling a glass of lemonade for 10 cents, and Bobby was selling his lemonade for 5 cents a glass. And a man stopped at Jimmy's stand and asked him why he was selling his lemonade for twice the price of the other boy across the street. So Jimmy grinned and said, "Well, sir, a cat didn't fall into my lemonade." And so the boy across the street, Bobby, runs over and says to Jimmy, "Why did you tell that man a cat fell in my lemonade?" And Jimmy replied, "Oh, I didn't say that. I just said the cat didn't fall in my lemonade, and let him draw his own conclusion." So what did Jimmy do? Yes, he made it look like that a cat fell in his competitor's lemonade. So that, you know, that's being guilty, is it not, of leaving out the truth. So God does not look at lies according to sizes and colors like little white lies. They're all lies in the eyes of God. And notice Revelation 21:8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." People are to pay heed. All liars. When people can get up before a committee of congressmen or senators and tell falsehoods, just like they're speaking to their family members, as if this is so easy. They don't understand. If they don't repent and get forgiveness, they'll be in the lake of fire. Well, our time is moving on. Let's go now to the seventh sin, excuse me, and finish out our study of the seven sins which were involved in crucifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This would be Luke 23:23-25. "And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will." Now, we've discussed, you know, what's involved here in the other sins, some of the other sins, yes. But here is the seventh sin we want to look at. And that's the sin of being unwilling to stand for the truth. And of course, Pilate, he knew it was not right to convict Jesus, let alone allow him to be put to death. But he went along with the Jews because he did not have the backbone to do the right thing. And that's clear, isn't it? How sad is it when a judge sees that a man is innocent, but yet he doesn't make the right decision in releasing the innocent person, whoever it might be. But in this case, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Pilate, he wants to please the crowd, the multitude of Jews there. Well, notice in Luke 23, beginning in verse 14, and this is Pilate, when he had called the chief priests and rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Yes, who was for certain sedition made in the city for murdered, and was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. He's trying again. "Don't you see, this man has done nothing worthy of death. In fact, he found no fault in that man, period. But yet, he's unwilling to do the right thing, because of the others. The others' desire. He gives in to their desire and released Barabbas, the murderer, and had Jesus crucified. Thus, he was wanting to go along with the multitude, even though he knew that it was not the right thing. You see, that's the sin, of course, of unwillingness to stand for the truth. Now, what about us? What about us today? Are we guilty of the sin of being unwilling to stand for the truth? Remember in John 12, 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Let's not be in that situation, wanting to have the praise of men instead of the praise of God. So many people today are like Pilate. They know what is right, but they want to remain neutral. They don't want to offend anyone. Well, if the truth offends someone, they need to be offended and understand that they need to be convicted by the power of God's Word that can prick our hearts. And certainly, when we're in sin, we need to be pricked in our hearts and get out of it and obey the gospel. We've studied seven sins last Lord's Day and today, which were involved in our Lord's crucifixion. These sins of ignorance, hating that which is good, religious prejudice, envy, loving money, lying, and not being willing to stand for the truth are still being committed today. So here is our question. Are we guilty of the same sins which were committed when our Lord and Savior was crucified? If we are, there's still time to obey and receive God's pardon. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We, of course, have to hear the word of God. This is how our faith comes, Romans 10, 17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, Mark 16, 16. We must repent of our sins, making a change of wills, and do the will of God, Acts 2, 38, Acts 17, 30. After changing our wills and doing the will of God, now we're ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We're putting on Christ, Galatians 3, 27. We're contacting His precious blood that washes away our sins, Acts 22, 16. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, and the Lord adds us to His body, the true church. We thank you so much for listening today.